Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 28 of the Double Knit Podcast.
And we are joined today by Audrey, who's not having a morning nap, so this could get interesting.
Yes. And we're a little bit late because you had jury duty.
I did. I had 2 days of jury duty earlier this week, which I gotta tell you, if you're gonna get jury duty in Seattle, go for the municipal court because it is really nice. It's this like huge room that's got floor-to-ceiling windows, like really clean and bright, and has this panoramic view of the waterfront, and has a rooftop terrace and a quiet room with like desktop computers you can use. It has high-speed wireless internet. I mean, it's like, if you're gonna get stuck somewhere for a couple of days, it wasn't bad. So, but I was worried about what I might be able to bring in. It turns out knitting is allowed there, but I, to be safe, I brought,
Babette.
Yeah. I brought crochet with me, and I got a ton done. And I was doing a little chart of it last night, and I've gotten, I was planning on starting doing sections 1 through 7 and seeing how big that would be. And I've only got a few more squares to do. Or maybe more than a few, but I mean, a couple of like,
sections. You know,
little two ones, and then I've got like two of the big ones to do. But I was thinking, like last night I did one of the squares in it are 2, 4, 6, 8, or 12 rounds, and I did one of the 8-round ones last night in under an hour, which I know for some people is slow, for me is fast.
Yeah.
So if I only wanted to do my original plan, it'll be done pretty soon. I mean, except of course all the sewing together is
That's part of the reason I decided not to do it.
Yeah, but Erin put the fear of God into me because she said like a week ago, like, I think I'm gonna do Babette. And I'm like, oh great, I've been working on this thing for like 2 years, and then she's gonna swoop in and do one in like a week and a half, and I'm gonna still be working on mine. So, but then you changed your mind.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the hexagons. I think in Ravelry it's just called Hexagon How To.
Uh-huh.
They're little...
Is that like the Attic 24 or
something?
Yeah. I was looking at that one, too.
Because you just join them as you go,
and
less sewing is better.
Yes, I agree.
Concerned. So,
I agree. And I finished... Well, speaking of hexagons, just to jump right into... I finished my hexagon blanket, my Noro.
Yeah.
Hexagon.
Really pretty.
And I'm so glad it's done, and I'm using it. It's kind of small, little, like, lap blanket size. And my house is, extremely drafty. My 100-year-old house, very drafty, so I've been keeping it like on my lap when I'm working on the computer, and it keeps me very nice and warm, and I like it very much. So, and I've finished Damson finally, and did a whole bunch of different things to try to keep the yarn from bleeding, and it was still bleeding in the dyer. Shelley from Butternut Woolens contacted me and offered to send me new yarn, and I told her that, you know, I thanked her and said that wasn't necessary, but she wrote back and said that she insisted that I take some new yarn from her because it was very important for her that, you know, that the yarn that she's putting out there is good and that people are happy with it. And so she very kindly sent me a few skeins of yarn, which are beautiful.
You are not going to stand on the table, my friend.
Not
sorry.
Me. I'm not standing on the table, honest.
That's how we podcast.
Erin's always trying to keep me from climbing on the furniture. Anyway, so I got that yarn, and that was very nice. So now I've got to figure out what to do with that. So maybe some more shawls. I'm not sure. And let's see, what else was I doing? Well, Babette, and I think that's everything.
I can't have my coffee either.
I cast on, and knit like the first 2 rows of a sock while on jury duty, and I don't know, like I must have gone into some sort of fugue state. I was doing it on double points, which I haven't done in a million years, and realized on the bus ride home that I had like short rode back and forth on the same needle. Like gone back and forth on the same needle like more than once, which was really like, I was like, because I knit across the needle and I had like 5 rows, and I got to the next needle and I was like, 2 rounds, what? I like went back and I'm like, so yeah, I like undid it and then I did it. I don't know what I was doing. So maybe I was tired or something. I'm not sure. But that's what I've been doing. You've been knitting up a storm as always.
Yeah, I finished the little cable hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Bud and Chloe. It's for my niece. And it's so cute. It's sitting right there. I'll pull it out. I just have to sew a zipper on. But I have to go get a zipper.
Oh, okay.
So, it's a project for this weekend.
Cool.
And I finished one of Noah's socks. But now I know how long it'll take. Because I was kind of just, you know, I didn't really know, like, how long the foot was going to be. And how high I was going to make the... You know, the leg and all that stuff. So, but he tried it on and he really likes it. So,
good.
That's yay.
Yay.
I'm knitting a dress for Audrey.
she's
stalking the cat. I'm knitting a birthday dress for her because she was born on Christmas Eve. So, instead of buying her, like, toys or something that we don't need, I'm just going to knit her a little dress. And it's from...
Excuse me 1 second. I'm going to put my shoes away.
Okay.
Dale of Norway, book 208, which is traditional baby designs or something like that. And it's called 20801 Voss Dress, Cardigan, and Cap. So it's a whole ensemble, but...
They name their stuff as creatively as drops do.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like, Cardigan A1.
Yeah. So I got past the color work part, but... You start at the hem, so there's 320 stitches.
Yeah.
And you do the hem on side zeros, and then you graduate to ones. So I'm past the little color work border part, and I'm into just the plain stocking.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So, and I think I'm going to make the skirt a little bit shorter, so it won't catch under her knees when she's crawling.
Yeah.
Although she's walking now, so. What are you doing?
Bye.
She doesn't have earrings today.
I don't have any earrings.
She's checking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
and that's from stash yarn. I had Dale of Norway, the Navy. Uh-huh. I had it in my stash from something a long time ago. I don't think it's in Ravelry even. But I was like, oh, look at this. Yeah. The perfect yarn for this project. So I just had to buy the cream color for the
contrast. Great.
So. I cast on for a theory last night, it's a shawlette.
Uh-huh.
But you start and doing it in Malabrigo silky merino.
Yeah.
And it's a gift. So it's you cast on using backwards loop, which I was like, why the hell would you use backwards loop? But you have to cast on 482 stitches.
What?
Yeah.
Ow.
And so you work from the hem up.
Uh-huh.
So,
That's a lot of...
So it's kind of like Damson where it has that little loopy thing.
Uh-huh.
But I understand why you do the backwards loop, even though it's fiddly to work into, because it looks really nice once you you do, like, a knit two together and knit two, bind off four, and that creates the hole for the loop.
Huh.
And then on the next row, you do knit two, double yarn over.
Uh-huh.
And then on the next row, you do a knit two, knit front and back. So it makes a nice finished round edge.
Okay.
And it's just got, you know, kind of a lacy, cool pattern. And then garter stitch, and you do short rows.
Oh.
So it is shaped for your shoulders.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really pretty. And I can't remember who did the pattern, but it's on Ravelry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already like... Regardless of the huge cast on and the pain that was, I want to knit one for myself.
All right.
It might be the yarn, too. Because I haven't worked with the silky merino yet. And it's really pretty.
Really
so.
Nice, yeah.
What else? Duck Soup is for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that electric blue Eco Plus that's discontinued now. And it's just a little kid's coat cardigan thing. It's got a hood and little frog closures. And it's on chunky yarn. But I only work on it at the charity knitting group. So. And that's in size 9 needles, so it's kind of going. I'm almost to the point where I pulled the sleeves off.
Oh.
And knit back and forth on the body. So.
Yeah.
Cool. That's me.
Yeah, and I think I kind of covered everything that I've been working on.
Are you all right?
Probably the pear she was holding in her mouth.
Since we've last talked, there's a new interweave and a new twist collective.
Oh, yeah.
And we should talk
about
those.
Should I bring the twist collective on?
Yeah.
So we got a store copy of interweave yesterday.
Yeah, and I know, subscribers have gotten theirs already, or some have. Sasha came by the shop yesterday with hers. And I posted the preview on my blog, and I have to say I was really surprised. All these people were like, buch, yuck, ick, feh. And
I thought it was a really nice issue. And I think also I liked it even more when I actually had the issue in my hand. I think the way that they've changed the format. I know a lot of people didn't like it.
Yes, it's in sections, kind of.
And the sections have the patterns with, I mean, the pictures with the patterns, because I know people didn't like it when they went to
all the pictures and then all the patterns.
All the patterns in the back. So, but they've got a lot of, a lot of interesting sort of sidebar and technical and instructional stuff kind of mixed in with everything.
Yeah, although I was looking through it with Adrian last night at the shop, mm-hmm. and we had the same feelings about a lot of the stuff where the fit was kind of poor. Like, there were different mm-hmm. details that were really nice, and I liked some of the yarns, but the overall effect, like, I didn't like. Yeah. But I really loved the... what's the color barrel yoke one?
The Icelandic star,
yeah. I think it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, I like that one a lot,
I love that one.
I do, too. I know a couple of people, I think, are kind of not into it just because it's not new, but, you know, that's okay to me. I like that one a lot. I thought the mosaic knit one, the Michelle's...
Oh, Michelle's jacket.
Yeah. I think the Nora sweater also looks really pretty and interesting. Got some interesting... Miss Michelle's jacket.
Okay, my issue with this is that the sleeves end at an odd place, like right where your elbow ends.
Yeah.
So you have to make them a little longer or shorter.
And I think they didn't style it very well. I think the outfit they put it with is a little...
It's like schlumpy or something.
Yeah, not...
And I think the... For me, anyways,
the color's
too big.
But I love the colors they chose. Yeah, and I like.
And
the
I wouldn't
general...
do the hip pockets because that just draws attention to where I don't want drawn attention to.
And then up at the there's the Nora sweater, which is sort
the
of an interesting cable sort of swingy sweater that I think I like. Oh, I liked a lot. I just, you know, it wasn't too much. Like, it was just a little bit of cables in the right places.
Yeah. For me, that sideways knit thing, though, is always structurally weird. Like,
yeah.
It pulls weird at different places.
I'll be curious to see as people make it. The alpaca
pleats jacket.
I love. I mean, it's a simple
Connie
little jacket.
Connie Chang Chinchio, again, in blue sky alpaca silk.
Yep.
Just like her silk cocoon cardigan that I knit. And I was like, oh, I should knit this in this yarn. Like,
yeah.
I already have one sweater out of that.
I haven't knit with it yet, so it would
But
be...
it reminds me kind of Peyton. Her twist collective sweater in the fingering weight,
the
hook and eye closure, which I also want to knit that.
Yeah, I think it's a really attractive little sweater. The Dusseldorf Erin from Fiona Ellis, I like if you eliminate the sleeve
pleat. Me too.
Penis.
I would do those my 15-inch sleeves.
Yeah,
I think it'd be really cute.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just got a nice cable panel down the front, simple shape. And so I liked that one a lot.
I like the lacy ribbons.
Yeah,
it reminds me of
Rosemary.
A Kim Hargreaves design from Vintage Rowan, that
mm-hmm.
Vintage Knits book.
Yeah.
And I like where the stripes stop. I think it's going to be really flattering because you don't have that horizontalness.
So the stripes are just across the yoke.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly isn't something I would ever knit or
I think
wear,
I would actually
knit myself.
That. Yeah. And
I would never wear that.
Yeah. I think I would. I might knit that.
With a toddler? Good luck.
Yeah.
I just make sure little fingers going into all those big holes.
There are things I wear to work on the weekends now that I don't, because I don't have to worry about her
grabbing and
all that stuff. I like the paper lanterns.
I think
interesting.
They're cute. And there's only this one in the preview, but in the magazine there's actually three different designs.
I like
which
the square
really,
one.
Yeah. There's some really cute ones. So we talked about, in the color work section,
Hearts and Flowers cardigan is so cute.
A nice little girl's traditional one that is steeked. Sasha was pointing out that we were looking at the Icelandic star, and it looks like Icelandic star, for whatever reason, isn't steeked.
Yeah, you can fix that easily.
But that's what I would do. And I know a lot of people like the Aspinwall pullover, too, which is a men's pullover with just a small color work band across the chest with a little zip neck.
I didn't like
nice
the ribbing
sweater.
On the body. I would just do it because it's all ribbed
below
the color work band, and I would just do stockinette and a ribbing at the bottom.
Yeah, but I didn't like
the... There's so many projects knit in, like, Road to China yarns.
Oh, really?
Which is... This is knit. The men's Aspinwall pullover is knit in Road to China.
Wow.
Am I... Yeah. I was like, that'd be really nice expensive yarn. Knit sweater.
Yeah. Anyway, but I liked it quite a bit. Or even this, like, simple little fiery ruche scarf.
Yeah.
Is, too. You know, just a really simple idea and a good way to get
people to think about scarves.
Yeah, I know. I don't knit scarves, but I like it as an idea. Yeah. And that in the magazine, then they use it as a chance to sort of talk a little bit about color theory and how you would select different yarns for this.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because typically magazines aren't big on, you know, here's how you would do it if you want to do something different than the way we present it. And so I liked that they dug into the how to pick colors a little bit.
I liked that they had, in the magazine, they had, like, the color close-ups of the different color work things and then the black and white.
Yeah.
That was great.
To talk about...
Actually, I think it's grayscale, but...
Yeah. To talk about value, because that's what... I was just talking... I mean, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm always kind of talking about this with customers when they're first starting to think about doing color work, is that you always hear the phrase, like, well, these go together. And then it's, you know, there's that instinct to have colors that look harmonious together, and people tend to have, like, a certain value that they like and they go for. And if you have all these harmonious colors that are all the same value and you do color work... Yeah, it's just, it's not good.
Yeah.
So the new Twist Collective, and in this one I was, I know a lot of people were more excited about it. I really liked Tanit's jacket when I saw it in the magazine. It's this kind of boxy 3/4 offset cardigan. But then I saw it on Gudrun Johnson's blog, and on her I did not like it at all, and I don't know if they just found a model that it fit really well, or whether they pinned it or did something to make it look really well suited to the model, or whether she's just really tiny, because on her it was like gaping in all sorts of weird ways and looked really it didn't look like the same sweater to me.
So I'm curious to see after some people knit it and wrap to see it on different people.
Me too.
I love Dryad.
That's the Cydia Harding, and this is the one that's sort of, but not a rectangle, right?
Yeah, it's kind of triangular ends.
Yeah, kind of ovally.
Yeah.
I
liked it, and it has some little beads at the ends, on both ends, but it calls for 1,000 yards of lace weight, and I have a skein of Sundara 100% silk lace weight in bronze over copper that's going to be beautiful. Perfect. So I was like, cue!
I like, or even like Veronique Avery's got this cute little mitten pattern that you also knit like a little liner for, and they're like two separate pieces, so you can choose to not do that.
I like the plated tam in that super bright green color.
I did too, but when I saw it, I thought, oh, it's like, I mean, I just feel like I thought of Isolde, I thought of Jared Flood. It's like there's a lot of
those tams,
cable tams out there already. So it just didn't, it's attractive, but again, it didn't sort of make me sit up and notice
it. So my favorite sweater was Mystère by Cecily Glowick MacDonald, which is a reverse stockinette background with simple cables on the front.
Really loose, simple loose cable.
And then it has like little bands down the arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Just really simple, and I think I could wear it all the time.
Yeah.
Like with a bunch of different stuff. So...
Yeah, it's cute. I know also a lot of people are really crazy about Kelmscott, which is a very textury, very feminine, kind of scalloped edge, big collar.
It's kind of cables.
Yeah, cable-y, lacy something.
Yeah.
And it's not my style, but I can appreciate that it's pretty. I liked that the photography and the styling on that whole series in the magazine. I thought that was really
pretty.
The Cambridge Cables, which is another one that just doesn't personally appeal to me.
I thought it was pretty. It was hard for me to tell what was going on with the sweater. Because she's like twisted or laying down.
Yeah.
And you can't see like what the heck the sweater actually looked like.
And then Stephanie Vanderlinden's
Scarabray.
I love.
Yeah, I will do that with the crew neck.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people say they wanted to change the neck. I also love the Polar Bear Chulo, which...
That's cute.
Really cute little Fair Isle in natural colors. And then there's this really interesting sweater that Kate Gilbert made called Kirigami, which has unusual construction.
It reminded me of her Cinnabar pullover, though.
Yeah, a little bit, but the construction's really different. Okay. Because the top, it's hard to explain. Even the bottom is knit. I don't know if it's knit in a tube or if there's two. I think it's knit in a tube, sort of up to the bust. But then the top section, the sleeves and the yoke are knit sideways. And it's done in these really narrow stripes of two colors. So the construction is quite different, I think, than Cinnabar. But you do get those little buttons on the neck.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I think it's interesting. And again, it's one of those ones where I'll be curious to see what people do with it. It's done in an Aran weight yarn, though, which I was kind of surprised. I thought it looked...
It doesn't look airy.
I thought it was a little finer, but... And actually, the same is true for the Scarbray. I thought when I saw it, like, ooh, you know, like, sport weight, cables, yummy.
Yeah.
And then I saw that it was actually Aran weight, and I was surprised, because it didn't look that... Chunky. For that much texture going on, it didn't look that chunky.
Yeah. I actually like the Moxie set, the hat and gloves.
Too. But I didn't like the color choices. I feel like I can't see the pattern all that well with the blue on green.
But I like that color work. It's a lot of color work.
Yeah, I like the pattern itself. This is another one that I'll really.
Oh, and it's knit in sock yarn, and we all have lots of sock yarn in our stash.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
you know what? Speaking of things knit in sock yarn, I forgot I started an Almas shawl too.
Oh, cool.
Just to totally jump back, and that is using two skeins of merino tensile from two different dyers I've got at Sock Summit.
Oh, right, that should be pretty.
And it is really pretty. I started it because I was like, I want to knit a lace shawl. And then I don't know what I was thinking. Almost is a slip stitch shawl, and there's just lace on the edge, so it's really boring. And I'm like, knit three slip.
I think that's about it for me with the
twist.
I think Rover the toy is really cute.
Yes, I think the toy is really cute too.
I like the buttons on his legs.
Although I don't know. I have yet to knit anything from Twist. Isolde has some pretty like opera gloves.
Oh, Farinelli.
Which she even said on her own blog, like, I don't know where exactly you'd wear these gloves. So she's coming out with, or she's knitting a version. I think she said she was going to post that are shorter and fingerless.
Ooh.
So just see,
I would be down
how
for
you
that.
Would adapt the pattern to do that.
So I have knit a bunch of fingerless gloves and they have all disappeared. I don't know where any of them are. So I need to knit a pair for myself. Yeah.
I have one pair that it's from Last Minute Knitted Gifts. It's that little kind of diagonal rib pair, like really plain tube. There's no shaping. There's just like a gap for the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I knit them in yarn I got out of the free box. No. Oh, I have those too, actually. I got to find those. But
because those are so soft.
They're in a bag somewhere. But these were in a free box at the retreat I went to where someone had knit a sweater in Kasharoha and like put all the scraps in a bag. So I like painstakingly spit spliced all this yarn back together, but now I have Kasharoha little mitts and they're really nice. So I know I'm absurdly frugal, or it's not. I don't know. No, it's frugal. I just have this weird compulsion.
You have like depression era syndrome.
I do. I have to use every bit of it. I can't help it.
So do you want to talk about Jared Flood at all coming?
Yeah, Jared Flood came to the Seattle Knitters Guild.
Yeah.
And
I liked how his presentation was set up. It was photos that coincided with different, like, his knitting inspiration or places he lived that inspired him.
And a little bit of just sort of his, where he sort of explained how he went from, you know, being, like, someone who, like, how he, like, became a knitter, became a blogger, how he, started developing his relationship with Pam Allen when she was at Interweave and then moved on to Classic Elite to do the Knit in Brooklyn. I thought he gave a really nice talk and he had a good presentation of all these like inspiration photos. And
yeah, and he said he's working on a couple big things, one of which has lace, so yes. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, and that there was something else that he couldn't tell us yet that was going to be big.
And he had... pretty much all the samples from Made in Brooklyn there. And that was really good to see those.
It was. Yeah. And I'll put a link in the show notes. There was a blogger who was there who took some really great photos.
Oh, good.
Beautiful photos and photos of him. And that was, I thought that was very funny that I was sitting there looking at him as he's talking, and I'd met him once before at TNNA, but all of a sudden I was like, he looks just like Abby, who's someone who's a pearly girl, and I was just like, he's like her long-lost brother, and I told her, and she's like, okay, and you know how it's sort of that, like, when someone says, oh, this person looks just like you, how, hello, it's very exciting, how sometimes you, like, you think I look like that?
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, and then I showed her a picture of Jared, and she's like, oh, yeah, totally, I see that. Because usually people don't feel that way when you say, like, you look just like, you know, this person or that person, they're like, no, I don't, I can't believe they think I look like that. Anyway. Silliness. But, yeah, it was a good talk. It was packed.
Yeah.
They moved us from the basement of the church into the sanctuary, and it was, like, standing room only. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Fun to see him.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, what have you been watching?
Season 1 of Battlestar Galactica, which I like. Okay. Noah and I watch it together.
Uh-huh.
Because he's a big sci-fi
nerd.
Yeah. So, Edward James Olmos is, like, the
captain.
The captain of, yeah. So I just always remember him from Stand and Deliver. So I'm like, Stand and Deliver!
Wasn't he on,
he's been in tons of stuff, yeah.
That's
the one thing I remember from when I was, like, you know, in junior high or high school when that came out.
Yeah.
So I always just, yeah, slip that in when I'm talking to Noah whenever I can about the show. Yeah. He hates it, but I still do it anyways.
Uh-huh.
And I watched A Little Fish with Cate Blanchett.
And that's set in Australia? And she's a drug addict in that one? Or
No, or ex. Recovered.
Recovering addict,
but her brothers are still kind of in it, and then...
Oh, it stars Dustin Nguyen as her love interest, right?
I think
21 Jump Street.
Yeah. And Sam Neill's in it. He's, like, the kind of the kingpin
doing
drug
his
dealer
actual thing. Accent and stuff.
Yeah, but what I... Because we talked to Mary. She said she didn't like Cate Blanchett because she's a method actor or whatever. I felt like Cate Blanchett was much more normal in this. Like, not the... Like, I could see what she meant by method acting. But I felt like she was just kind of herself. But she was pretty young in this, too.
Yeah.
I can't remember when it was from.
It's probably about 6 years old now, or...
Yeah, so it was before, I think, she got, like... She'd done Elizabeth, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was... I don't know. I don't remember exactly when it was.
But I really... I liked it.
Yeah.
And when I first started watching it, I'm like, I'm not going to finish watching this. But I did finish it, and I'm glad. I'm really excited. You just kind of spit on me, too.
Not me. Again, not me.
What about you? What have you been watching? Did you go see that?
Well,
with Amanda.
Yes, Amanda. We're talking about you on the podcast. Amanda and I went to go see a preview screening of Pirate Radio, which is a film that was released in the UK under the name of The Boat That Rocked, I think. And it's about the pirate radios stations in the UK in the mid-60s and the efforts by the government to shut them down. And it's Richard Curtis who did Love Actually, which I don't really care for that much. It was just super fun. I mean, it was incredibly silly, but a lot of fun. It has Bill Nye in it, who I love.
I love him.
I love him. Philip Seymour Hoffman, who I love. Emma Thompson, Kenneth Branagh, Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, and he's pretty funny in it. The guy who plays Murray from Flight of the Conchords is in it, and anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was, whoa. Hello.
She's just flinging her toys around.
But the best thing about it is the music. It's just all this great, you know,
mid-60s. That's like something I would like.
And, but I was saying, like, the hardest thing for me during the movie was to not sing along. Okay. And so someone was saying, like, they need to do, like, midnight screenings of this, you know, where you can sing along.
Yeah.
But that was really fun. And then another thing, and I've been watching, I watched all of Eddie Izzard's concert movies that I hadn't seen yet, because they're all on Watch Instant on Netflix. Yeah. So that's been that's fun. Good knitting watching. But then I watched another movie a couple weeks ago that was on Watch Instant that I'd never heard of that has Sam Neill in it. It just reminded me of it. It's, I think whoever cast it just like saw, like, who's on the Tudors? Because it's Sam Neill, Jeremy Northam, and Peter O'Toole as the principal actors. And then Australian actor Brian Brown, who hasn't been in anything in a long time, but it's called Dean Spanley, and it starts really slow and quiet. It was Jeremy Northam plays Peter O'Toole's son, and He has a brother who was killed in the Boer War, and his mother sort of subsequently died, you know, perhaps of grief. And that he takes his dad to go hear a talk by a swami about reincarnation. And they see this minister there, played by Sam Neill. Anyway, it starts out really slowly, so that he starts... It's even hard to explain without giving a lot away, but that basically the Jeremy Northam character begins to believe that the Sam Neill character is reincarnated, and then his previous life he was a dog. But it's done in this very, like... But it turned out... I really enjoyed it, though, because it started really slowly. It was one of those movies where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to finish watching this. This is moving really slowly. It's not that interesting. Mm-hmm. But it ended up actually... being kind of sweet and magical and
sounds yeah, good. It was just, and I like kind of weird. So.
Yeah, it was yeah. a little. It was, and then it was funny too because then I watched Mrs. Dalloway, which is sort of set in London, which I'd never watched. I don't know. I mean, I've read it.
Yeah.
Which is set in London, you know, slightly after the period that that Dean's family is set. So, and I watched them kind of back to back, so it was kind of funny to get this, like, you know, early.
Yeah.
20th century view of London, but when that's a wonderful film. It's Vanessa Redgrave and Natasha McElhone as Clarissa Dalloway, and
so you. But as far as books go, you finished Cement Garden.
I did. I finished. I finished all 150 pages of Cement Garden. Yay me! Woo. Freaky little book. Actually, not as disturbing as I, or not as weird as I was expecting, thought it was going to be.
I mean, it's definitely weird.
But. Yeah, it's about four children whose parents die and sort of what they do. It's, I saw like something on the jacket sort of talked about like Lord of the Flies, and it's nothing like Lord of the Flies, but it's certainly,
it's weird. See, I've seen the movie, I haven't read the book. So.
I think watching the movie of it would be even more upsetting than just reading it, because at least reading it, you're getting a lot more of the what's going on. I mean, it's narrated by the son, the older son, so
the older sister.
Yeah.
She in the movie, she's played by the woman who plays like Jane Eyre in like the movie Jane Eyre, and she's also Bob Dylan's wife in I'm Not There.
Oh, Charlotte.
I always forget her name.
I always get it wrong.
And that's the first thing I ever saw her in, and I was like, she's so good. But that movie is very freaky.
Yeah,
she's getting ready for amps. She's getting a little spazzy.
That's okay. Here, you come sit with me. It was a really interesting book, and I actually started reading another book while I was on jury duty, and by started, I mean, like, I read about six pages, but it's Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius by Dave Eggers, who did the screenplay for Where the Wild Things Are, and I can already tell from this, like, I like this
guy. Have you not read that before?
No.
Oh my god, it's so good!
I know, but I haven't read it before. So I've only read, like,
Nikki gave that to
10
me.
Pages of it or something. But
I read that, I think it might have been right when it came out, because I was still in...
I think I've had it since it came out. I just never read it. And it was reminding me, there was an episode of the TV show Ed years ago where, like, the best friend's wife, you know, decides, like, you know, she's going to, like, get herself together and, like, do all this good stuff. Oh, that was, like, or she was taking a break from the baby or something. And she keeps saying, like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius. And it just became this thing where she kept saying the name of the book over and over again. And so now every time I...
So did you read the preface or whatever?
I read the preface, which is hilarious.
And it's true. Which is funny because you keep reading and because it's so good and you're like, oh, that was true.
What I loved is there in there he's got the quote from his brother about writing the book saying, ooh, look at me, I'm Dave, I'm writing a book, ooh. And when I read that, I just thought, that is my older son. And I read it aloud to Wes, and my older son was in the room and he like cracked up. And I was like, that's because that's you. That's what you sound like. Yeah. But so yes, I think I will enjoy it. I just
it's really good.
Had a chance to pick it up again since I came back from jury duty.
Yeah, I'm reading Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah,
I'm a little distracted by Audrey. I know she's spazzing
out. Getting a little
Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. I'm almost done. I really like it.
I've never read it.
Well, I can lend it to you, and you can just add it to the giant stack
of books. Books that I've never read. Yeah, I think that's one of those books that I'm just sort of like, I know it's supposed to be really, you know, I'm not supposed to be. I know it's a great book, but it sort of smacks of sci-fi to me. Did we blurb?
Maybe.
Yeah, a little bit.
She looks kind of disgusted with herself.
But it always sort of smacks of sci-fi to me, and then I'm like, I don't want to read that.
Well, it's future dystopia, basically. Yeah, but
that's not my favorite genre.
But the way it's written, I really enjoy. And I like, I'm really enjoying the story so far.
We've got some serious baby craziness going on here.
That's what happens before she crashes.
Okay.
That's it. I read a trashy vampire movie.
Book. Yeah.
But, it was super trashy, and I'm not even going to talk about it.
And we're going to go try seeing New Moon this weekend, but I don't know. We had, like, all this Pearly Girl enthusiasm to go see New Moon, and then one by one, everyone's like, yeah, I'm not going. I'm busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. So now...
Well, and I thought everyone else would go, and I'd just go see it by myself, because I'm the one that works on the weekends, but... Yeah.
Yeah, now it's like,
It's pre-Thanksgiving craziness.
Yeah, so, I don't know. And we're all excited because Fantastic Mr. Fox opens next week. Yay! Yeah,
Wes Anderson. He's my fave.
So we'll go see that.
Yeah. If Wes Anderson could somehow do a collaborative effort with Coen Brothers, that would be, like, my... Yeah.
Yes, Audrey, that's exactly what Mom was going to say. That would be perfectly.
That would be, like, the best movie ever. But, yeah. I think that's it. I think we're done for now.
Nap time!
Thanks for listening.
Bye!
Bye!